I've known too many women, far too many, to claim to understand 'em. Their minds work in ways too mysterious for me to fathom. Anyway, my studies have generally been confined to their bodies, which perhaps accounts for it. But I know that Duchess Irma of Strakens was a different woman after that night. To me, at any rate, she had been a proud, autocratic, thoroughly spoiled little brat the day before, nervous as a mouse and as cold as a whale's backside. And I'd not have been surprised if, after the way I'd handled her, she'd been put off men for good. But next morning she was positively meek, in a thoughtful but apparently contented way, and very attentive to me. She seemed to be in a state of wonder, almost. And yet she was ready to talk to me, and what was even more remarkable, listen to me, too. Not that I'm a great hand at conversation in the mornings. I don't mention this in a boastful way, or to suggest that with a chap like me it's just a matter of catch 'em young, treat 'em rough, roger 'em hard, and they eat out of me hand. Far from it. I've used women that way and had them try to repay me with cold steel, or run a mile next time I looked at them. But with Irma, for some reason, it had quite the opposite effect. I can say that from that night on, as long as I knew her, she treated me with something near to worship, which shows you how stupid a love-struck young woman can be. All this, of course, made for a most happy sojourn at Strelhaw. There was plenty to do during the day, what with picnic parties, for although some snow still lay, it was pleasantly warm for the season, and shooting in the woods, and riding on horses in the afternoon, and in the evening we had musical entertainment from the ladies, or played billiards, and the food and drink were of the best. I began to feel like royalty again, with people waiting on me hand and foot, and jumping to my slightest wish. And it is mighty pleasant to have a beautiful young duchess hanging on your arm, adoring you, even if she does keep you from getting much sleep at nights. It was the life, all right. Lazing, feasting, shooting, tickling the pills in the billiard room, and sweating it out in bed with Irma. All the trivial amusements that are simply nuts to chaps like me. Rudy and Decote were the only flies in the ointment, for their very presence was a constant jog to my memory of the business in hand. But strangely enough, I became a little closer to Decote, for I discovered that he shared one of my chief interests, which is horseflesh. He was an authority of the true kind who never pretends more than he knows, and in the saddle he was nearly as good as I was myself, which is to say he would have been top-notch among any horsemen in the world, even the Cheyennes of the American Plains, who are the best I know. We rode together a good deal, but I made sure we always had one of the Strakensians or a couple of grooms along. I'm nervous about going into the woods alone with fellows whom I've cut open with a schlager, and whom I'm pretty sure I haven't forgotten it. Decote, at any rate, was a silent, unassertive fellow, which was more than could be said of the bold Rudy. Now that he was confident I could play my role in perfect safety, he was treating me exactly as he would have used the real Prince Karl, which is to say, with his customary impertinence. Of course, he cared for no one, and even let his bright eye play over Irma, while he would address her with that half-mocking deference which he seemed to reserve for his social superiors. She was woman enough to be taken by his good looks and easy charm, but she sensed, I think, that here was a real wrong'un, and confessed to me on one occasion that she was sure he was not a gentleman. I promised to replace him with a new aide when we returned to the city, and took some malicious pleasure in telling him about it later, so that he should realize that one woman, at least, had read him correctly. But he was only amused. "I knew the chit had no taste," says he. "Fish is taken to you. But don't imagine you can get rid of me so easily, your highness. I'm your loyal, obedient, and ever-present servant until the time comes to end our little comedy."